Learn live in the classroom at Online Trading Academy's Financial Education Center in Bellevue. You'll have access to state-of-the-art workstations where you can learn on a professional trading platform. Text Cairo to 57682 to register for a free half-day workshop and learn more.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Hey, it's Dave Wyman and Brock Hewitt filling in for Dory today. Sorry, we were going to go towards something we talked about earlier, Pete Carroll, and maybe his message is getting stale, or what's it about with Michael Bennett and Richard Sherman, but we can't gloss over this dog poop story that you had there, Ursula.
Have you ever seen 100 pounds worth of dog poop?
100 pounds.
That's at least what she's saying. It apparently looked like it was a big heap. There's pictures all over social media now.
How did that person get the poop up there?
I'm not sure, but there was a message left behind, too.
How do you read that with a straight face?
She didn't. I saw her laughing.
I had a very hard time, yeah. Especially because I could hear you guys like chuckling over there.
Yeah. I have a story, by the way, about that.
You do? About dog poop?
Well, I told the story the other day that I actually, I get so tired when I have to, and you'd say, well, you should go back in your backyard and do it more often, but I just was like, all right, in order to get through this, I have to count the number of piles of poop that I picked up for Hoover. It was like 85.
No.
Yeah, it was. What? And it was
how many months worth?
Yeah, it was probably 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, something like that. But yeah, it was just like, oh man, it's awful. And it does.
With all the rain?
Yeah.
You just let Hoover just poop out there 85 times before you clean it up?
Well, how come nobody else would do it, bro? How come my wife or my kids weren't volunteering to go back and do that?
I've got to say, I've kind of given my husband that duty, too. He does a really good job.
Yeah. See, no, you don't want to do that.
You were close. So I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess you're close to 100 pounds of poo.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know if each one's a pound. But one time there was a little war going on between Greg Gaines, who was a linebacker here and was a crazy man, and Brian Bosworth.
Yeah.
And they were playing tricks on each other. The final straw was when Brian Bosworth, he got gloves out of the training room, and he went and he got a whole bunch of, he had these two stupid dogs that I couldn't stand that were Dobermans, and he went and got a bunch of their poo and smeared it all over Greg Gaines' car. And then that was pretty much the end of it. What was that?
I pooped my pants.
That's Al Roker from many years ago.
No way.
Yeah. I pooped my pants.
You know, I drew out a chart over
after
there.
After years of this weird diet, just FYI.
Is that what it was?
I think
on the AM side, I drew this chart. I think Jess put it on Twitter, but there's people who have pooped their pants, people who have not pooped their pants. And then on the other side, you put people who think it's funny, people who don't think it's funny.
What about people who have sharted?
I don't think you can say that on the air, Sean.
I just did.
Have you ever pooped your pants?
It counts. Sure. I told a couple stories about that over on the AM side. It's very entertaining, Brock. And my wife falls into the category of never.
Sure.
But thinks it's funny.
Right.
But there's people that don't think it's funny. Jim Moore, for one, does not think it's funny. And I think he's never. So.
When was the last time you pooped your pants?
I pooped my pants.
It's been a decade. Probably. It's been a good decade, Brock. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
All right,
let's move on. This is The Big Lead.
This is Ursula's fault.
I pooped my pants.
It's entirely Ursula's fault. All right.
Can we
compose ourselves?
Hold on a second. Ursula, we're calling the Hot and Hotter Show, also known as Dave and Brock, also known as the Dory Monson Show. Tomorrow, are you in tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, when you're in tomorrow.
No, I'm not missing this for the world.
When you're
even
in tomorrow,
if I have a bad cold coming on.
When you're in tomorrow, no poop stories.
Right. Okay. Let's
move on. I kind of handed you. Because the other thing that Dave was getting all worked up over, and Dave, I always think of you as this mild-mannered. I'm realizing I just had the complete wrong impression of you because you are so worked up today.
Yes.
We're talking about airplanes, dog poop, kids, and talking about chewing
tobacco. You didn't like the children?
I love it when
worried
they
about Ben Motter?
When they hijack children to put forward some political statement.
You
I love that.
You really love it.
There's nothing I love
you
more than that.
Love it.
All right. Hey, we were talking
about. Lead. Let's get to the first
lead. Let's go to the big lead. Right?
The big lead. Top story.
The big pile.
This comes from you.
Stop it.
We're moving on.
Sorry.
This comes from you, Brock. Because there was a sound on your show, on the Brock and Salk show, which runs 7 to 10 every
day. Big deal.
7 a.m. to 10 a.m. every day. Don't miss it. Greg Bishop, who wrote for Sports Illustrated, and he kind of threw this out there as sort of an afterthought almost. You asked him, Brock, you know, what are some of the other things that that you were working on with the Seahawks?
You know, I was with Michael Bennett all fall last year, so he never ran, unfortunately. But, like, he was telling me he read books during team meetings last year. Like, that was, like, he said it just kind of normally because he'd heard Carroll say the same thing over and over for 7 years.
Yeah, so you're laughing in the background there, Brock, and I'm sure it's because you're like, haven't really processed it yet.
What?
Because, wait, what? Because my reaction was, really? You're kidding me. And so, you know, this, the open sort of, insubordinates out of Michael Bennett. And then, you know, and during the season, we heard the same thing from Richard Sherman as well.
Is that player initiated or team?
It's always Pete. It's always Pete. So we always go into the Kumbaya meet room and sit there in Kumbaya.
Do they do much good?
They're effective. You know, I think just a different element for some guys. You know, older guys kind of see it every year. So the younger guys give them something different.
So, Brock, it didn't take me long to process this because it was outrage for me. Mm-hmm. You know, both of those guys. First of all, who drafted you, Richard Sherman, in the fifth round? I watched Richard Sherman play at Stanford. Not good, okay? Mm-hmm. And when the Seahawks drafted him, I thought, and look, he's one of the better corners in the league. I'll give him credit. But I think part of that is because he got an opportunity to play in this defense. And that's the thing, too, Brock. Think about this. Corners who have departed from this defense have not had success other places, really. Brandon Browner a little bit in New England, but Byron Maxwell didn't. Who was the kid from Oregon? Walter Thurman. Thurman.
Yeah.
Didn't, and so he eventually moved to safety. So we'll see, but he got a chance here, and Pete gave him that chance. Michael Bennett, you got signed here and signed to a couple of contracts, and you can't just be, and he's making a show by reading, and I don't think Pete necessarily saw this, but if you pull out a book and start reading, what is he like? I've gotten into a book before where it's like, oh man, I can't put this down. That's not what he was doing.
Yeah.
He was in there trying to be openly insubordinate, and it's a horrible message for the younger guys. And to me, it comes off as very ungrateful for a coach that did a lot for you, including giving you a chance to win a Super Bowl.
I know why this draws your ire in a lot of different ways, because we are around that complex an awful lot. On the AM side, where the flagship, you know, Cairo is as well, here on the FM side, the flagship. Cairo is, Bonneville is, the flagship of the Seattle Seahawks. And we're out there a bunch. And for the last, what's Pete been there now, 9 years? When we're around there, Dave, you are struck the same way I am. Like, this guy is more for you players than any coach you and I have ever been around.
Yep.
Like, he is going to have your back at every single turn through the adversities with Michael Bennett, who was out there supporting him at every single turn. Richard Sherman, you know, dumping on his coaches at times, right? Really challenging his coaches. And who was the coach that was there at every single turn? It was Pete. And by the way, who is the one from a messaging standpoint that is as progressive as any coach in the NFL? It's Pete Carroll. He brings in Steve Kerr. Right, he welcomes in. I've seen NBA coaches there. I've seen every coach imaginable. I met a college basketball coach that scores like 150 points a game, and it's just out there, man. He's just progressive. He's doing things that others aren't. Pete wants that. He wants to keep evolving and learning. It's just like that's his makeup, and that is why I know when you and I have the background and we've been around it and we've seen other stories, this one just drives you crazy.
Yeah. You think I didn't hear the same Chuck Knox stories every year? But, you know, I would never pull out a book and start reading, because especially when you're a veteran, it's your job not to necessarily sell it to the younger guys, but at least don't crap all over it by doing something like that.
We had flushed that whole thing.
Very funny. People are still texting in about the dog poop story, but
yep.
No, that's something that you owe that. You're a professional. You're paid $8-10 million a year. Sure, you're going to hear the same message over and over. But here's the other thing that outrages me, Brock. That message, whatever, Pete, if it's gotten stale, whatever, it works.
Yep.
It works.
Yep.
The second he got in here, they won.
Yes.
They won. They got in the playoffs, and they were 7-9. The next year didn't make it, but then 12, 13, they win a Super Bowl. 14, they, you know, get to the doorstep, don't win the Super Bowl, and they've been to the playoffs, what, 6 of his 8 years now, and Super Bowl championship, double-digit wins for the last 5 years. And so you're sitting there, and you're disrespecting his message. The message is a good one,
yes.
First of all, and your job is to sell that to the younger players and so that you can win games. And that one really bothered me.
So in this deal here, is this 100% on Michael? That as you looked at this year, and initially you heard my laughs, they're like, you got to be kidding me. Right? Initially, right. I think my blush reaction is, yeah, man, that is on you. That is on, you are a professional. That is your responsibility. Put on your hard hat. You go to, and then when you get paid, what you've gotten paid as a leader of this team. So initially, that's where I went. But over time, I guess yesterday, I continued to think like, man, why would he do that? Right? Like, why did he feel so compelled to just tune that message out? Why did I hear that from Richard? Instead of Richard being the most supportive, like, as you go to why, is there any then responsibility you put back on the culture? Either a culture that grew stale or a culture that wasn't demanding or a culture that didn't, pay off some of the rules they had.
Are you going to compare this to parenting?
I'm not going to go there this time.
Not this time?
No, but I'm trying to try to figure out as to why. Why would he go that route and be that insubordinate?
I don't know. Too much money? I have a theory about money, and I talk about it all the time with Dory, that if somebody offered me $1 million or $100 million, I would take the million. I think that, and you know this, Brock, I always quote you on this. You say that the Bible's like 40% of it or so is talks about money and how it corrupts people and what it does. And possessions. I think it turns people into geniuses. They think they know everything. And maybe it's that, or maybe it's just, it was the division.
But he felt like he had the freedom to do that. Right? I mean, is there something to be said? And again, I put the lion's share. I am right there behind you, man. If I had to be on either side of this, I am right there beside you. But there is just a part of me that has to evaluate it and say, you know what? There's a culture there that of some just, I hate to use a word like disobedient. They're not kids or grown men, but a culture of expression that I can do this. And the culture of expression that we saw there last year that I know wrangled a lot of, you out there listening to Dory's show, that wrangled a lot of the fans out there, like, this is too much. This has gone too far. Like, can we put the toothpaste back in and just, be all about the team first and not so much about the individual freedom of expression?
Let me give you a guy, though, that went the other way. Doug Baldwin. Doug Baldwin started off, remember after the NFC Championship game where he got up there and he was going to regulate what everybody said to Jermaine Kearse?
Yes.
And he has gotten, and his whole stance, however you feel about the anthem protest, which he terms differently, is he has handled that really well. And he's actually done something that's more than just kneeling. He's trying to get things done. He's handled it really well. He's gone the other way. Michael Bennett was one of my favorite guys to interview. He used to be so happy. And that's the thing I've always asked this all last year. What are you so mad about? Yeah. Why did he get so angry? But you're right, Pete Carroll entirely supported him. At the very last press conference, and a lot of people, there's some controversy, and I don't even know where it stands right now as far as Michael Bennett goes and the Las Vegas Police Department and the things that he claimed and the things that happened, the things we see on video. I'm not sure where all that is, but Pete stood there, and he stood up for him at the last press conference of the year and said, hey, look, this guy's gone through a lot. You need to be sympathetic towards Michael Bennett. Richard Sherman, when he was complaining about stuff, he was like, look, I know Richard as well as any dude on this team, and, just sort of extolled all his virtues. And he did a lot for both those guys. Why'd they turn on him? Why'd they get so angry? What are they so mad about?
Yep. It's the freedom, Dave. The freedom of expression to do what I want. And I would say that at a few different turns, I just don't know. Pete has very few rules. Very, very few. But this has been one since he started the culture there. And that is rule number one, that you protect the team.
Yeah, and that certainly did not get done. But you know what? Maybe is this it, though, Brock? Is this Pete laying down the hammer?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that.
He cut one and he traded the other.
I don't think there is any question about that. Is Michael's moved on and they've traded him? Is Richard Sherman, they don't really sign back? And someone, I think Ursula, we got in this to begin the show today, and I said to her, the healthiest thing, and I think the best thing now, is here comes the new crop. And that new crop is not going to be – remember when Pete started this program, he had a running back by the name of Lendale White who won a national championship with Pete at USC. And when Lendale White came in and he wanted an extra potty break at practice and he tried to go in and chill out and hang out in his locker, guess where he was sent? See ya. I know what you're doing. We're not doing it this way. When certain players were sitting in their chairs and lounging in the player room and in the team meeting room, bad body language owe you $8 million. I don't care. You are outie.
That was the TJ Houshmandzadeh story that I heard Danny tell on the air this morning. That he asked everybody to get up and move their chairs, and he didn't.
And he wouldn't do it. And oh, so really? What kind of operation do you think we're running here? I know how this league works. I can get away with – no, you can't. You are out, and I'm going to send you out. And that was how that was some of the foundational elements of compete every day. You're going to compete every day. We're all going to be in this. And by the way, rule number one at every turn is you protect the team. And if you don't, you can't be a part of this. Yeah. And what do they have, 460 transactions their first 2 or 3 years? I mean, they just turned it. And they're turning now. Yeah. And I think because of it, a bunch of these faces and voices that we have known through the years who did the most amazing of things on the field and win championships, they're out and some new faces are coming in.
I don't think Pete is that much of a loosey-goosey coach as everybody thinks. I think he's more of a whole old school guy but there's some speculation as to whether or not he let things get out of hand. Do you think Dory's going to come back here and maybe lay the hammer down on who hosts his shows going forward?
Yeah, I think he's going to look at the rundown. And I'm really curious when, like, Nicole, do you have to put the rundown together after the shows of what we talked about and send it out to everybody? Mm-hmm. So for the big lead, since we did, like, as I was looking at the clock, 12 minutes on this, is the first 10 minutes on poop?
Oh, yeah, I might add that.
I thought it was only 3 or 4 minutes, but
oh no,
it's always an interesting topic.
Definitely not 3 or 4.
You're going to put that on there, 100 pounds of poo, followed right into the Bennett story.
Entirely that was the Ursula's
big,
fault.
That was entirely the big, well, the Al Roker also. I mean, I think I'm not pointing fingers. I'll protect the team. Sean, I'm there with you. Nicole, we're all in this thing.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not going to bury somebody under 100 pounds of poo, Ursula. I'm not going to do that. We are all in this together.
I may poop you, may pee out.
Where do you come up with these, Sean?
That's the funniest thing about it. When grown people do that,
yeah,
it's like you're like a baby.
Why are we laughing?
It's not
because it's a hot and hotter show.
Funny.
That's why. It's Dave Wyman, Brock Ewart filling in for Dory Monson.
Who's hotter?
Dave's hotter. The picture's already out. It's on Twitter, right?
Did I see that it was trending? How old are you?
Did I see that it was trending?
42.
I turned 42. Did I show you this picture, Dave? I showed you the picture.
Showed it to me.
Look at Matt Gilbert doing his thing. Matt Gilbert over there on Twitter. Look at that picture. Why aren't you smiling?
Stoically.
What do they call that on Zoolander? Is that steel blue?
You know what I'm doing right there in that picture? What? I'm compiling a list of people I want to kill. Remember that from Happy Gilmore or
awesome
Billy Madison?
Awesome audio of the day. We provided it for 2.5 hours. Can't wait to see what you pulled from it. As we get to awesome audio of the day on the Dory Monson Show that is right here every day on Kiowa Radio News 97.3 FM.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. If you are on the search for your business's next home, there's simply no hotter place in the country than downtown Seattle right now. I went on a tour with Emily at Industrious Office. It's an amazing workspace right on 6th and Lenora in the heart of all that Seattle has to offer. Visit industriousoffice.com/Cairo or call Emily to schedule a tour. Mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hey there, business owners. Isn't this great? You can listen to Dory anytime, anywhere. If you're listening, your customers probably are too, so you need to give me a call. I can help you out and get your business placed right here in this show. 206-726-6819. It's Tina Sorensen, the General Sales Manager for Kiowa Radio.
It's the final 26 minutes of the Dory Monson Show. I'm Brock Ewart. Dave Wyman sitting in for our buddy Dory Monson for the first time, maybe the last time. Dave and I learned a long time ago in professional sports, the coaches say, you make the decision for us. Don't count numbers. Don't look around the room. Don't think who's going to be back, who won't be. You're going to make the decision for us. And based on the last 2 hours and 34 minutes, we are to be determined. There's been a lot of, like, Ursula, very uncomfortable over there.
Oh, that is baloney.
No, there's a lot of cringing.
I am laughing hysterically.
Oh,
are you kidding me?
Just a lot of cringing.
No. What did I tell you? That is not true. I'm here to tell the truth. Yeah.
Oh, tell the truth.
Yeah, tell the truth.
Tell
what
the truth
did
Thursday.
I tell you? As soon as I turned off the mic, I said, this is not going to be the last time you're doing this. You guys are great.
Well, Dave,
I'm
loving it.
They'll be back tomorrow, so tune in tomorrow.
Okay, Dave.
I've already made that decision.
Ursula, don't worry. Brock's kind of full of it. I'm trying to lower my voice.
Why?
Somebody said that I sound like Mike Tyson.
Sheesh. Yeah. Yeah, I don't hear that. But I did say, I did make one demand, and I think really only one demand, Nicole. I said, I like the end of you guys' show. You do the awesome audio, and then the end is near. So you're like, really? You don't have to? I'm like, no, I kind of like that.
Do you guys still do that? The end, today's sign, the end is near?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every day?
Yeah.
Every day, unless there's breaking news or something.
And I'm going to try to set this up appropriately. You have awesome audio number one.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
We were kind of close to that, Brock, but so we've just introed awesome audio of the day now.
So and I don't even have to point to, wow, Sean, you're good, man. Wow.
And then we're going to go, you intro awesome this audio is number two. It's a countdown.
Ooh.
So you intro your number two.
Oh, okay. So this is awesome audio number two, and this is great. This was actually on, you know, you credited me with some sound earlier, Greg Bishop of Sports Illustrated. This was trending on Tuesday. This was a really big deal from your show, Dave. I don't know if you realize this or not.
Number two.
Hey, well, this is, we set it up. This is actually number one now because this you just set it up backwards.
This is number one, Dave.
Let's just go with it. We're going with number one.
Watch.
I'm going to take over. Hold on.
I say this is just like Misfit Radio. I'm getting ready to go do 3 hours of this.
I know. Sorry.
Sorry,
well,
Nicole.
Here we go.
It's kind of like when I play Jeopardy at home. I get to pause the TiVo and come up with the answer. Possibly look it up on the internet. That's how I.
No, have you done that before?
What, paused it?
Have you paused during Jeopardy?
Oh, yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That's cheating.
Yeah, well, I know, but that's okay. I just want to get the answer.
Doesn't that take the fun out of it?
No.
So when Alex Trebek comes on and says the answer, you go, and you feel good that you had it?
I don't have a buzzer. Otherwise, I could buzz in. So, yeah, I give myself that leeway. It's dorky. I do have. I sent.
When did this start?
I sent just. I don't know, man. I just started thinking, like, I got to find something to do in between football season and baseball season. So really, it started in February. So because when I came home, I was always had a game to watch, you know.
Right.
And so, yeah. Thank you for the music.
Wait,
there,
here's
Alex
some more.
Oh, because it gets better.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not
better.
Just it.
More details.
Oh, there's more. Oh, I have a sheet that I fill out. And I actually write in the categories, and I'll keep my score. And then if I actually win, because there's been a couple of times where, and I also write down N-O when nobody else gets the answer, and I get it.
You keep track of Jeopardy at home?
Yeah, I do.
How I keep myself sharp, Jim. How often do you do this?
Well, I've been doing it like for the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Are there nights where you would have been crowned the champion?
Oh gosh, yes.
Seriously?
I hang on to those. I hang on to those sheets. I'll take a picture of them on my phone and send them to you.
When you go into final...
I won $45,000 one night.
Well, when you go into Final Jeopardy, do you bet it all typically, or
sometimes
do you save some of it?
It depends on the category, Jim. It's something I think I might be good at.
I think we should play tomorrow.
You want to play Jeopardy?
I think we should have a Jeopardy edition of Dory Monson Show.
You know what? Listen, we used to do this when I was in Denver, we had camp out in Greeley, Colorado. It's out in the middle of nowhere. And really what they had was a rendering plant out there, so it stunk to high heaven. Yep. They would like burn the blood. It was just an awful smell. There was nothing to do out there. So me, Shannon Sharp, and John Elway would race back because if you got back to the dorm fast enough, because I think dinner was at 6:30, if we got back fast enough, we could watch Jeopardy, and we'd sit there and try to get the answers and have a couple beers before we went down to dinner and meetings and stuff like that. So that's kind of where it started for me. But yeah, recently, and Ursula's looking at a picture I've got.
Yes. I love it. I mean, it is elaborate. It is great. You are really, but you know what's wonderful is that Dave, you allow the funny, quirky things that you do, and you expose them for all of us to joke. We are laughing hysterically. I think tomorrow we need to work on Brock, and you need to expose some of your.
I don't think you want to know, because he's so clean on the outside, and usually those people they got some really bad stuff in the closet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think we need to work on you just sharing a little bit of your little.
Ursula, what do you want to know?
Yeah. Well,
you tell me.
What's the weirdest thing that you do?
The weirdest thing. The thing I get made fun of the most by my friends is I take baths. Lots of them.
Yeah, there
not
we go.
More than one a day.
Like with the candles and all, with oils?
Bubbles.
There's
you got the whole thing.
I got a friend of mine gave me like these oils.
Skinny
and I don't
music.
Really care for those. I do like bath balm. Thank you. I do like the salts. I love farmers markets because you can get the homemade like bath salts.
Does someone have to sit by the tub and rub your feet?
No. I've got a whole setup though. I put the salt in. I got the bubbles.
Do you just sit and think, or do you listen to music?
I sit and think a lot. a lot of thinking. Sometimes not really music, reading. I do a lot of my show prep in the bathtub.
What's the average length of a bath for you?
30 to 45.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it'll have to get hot
so
again.
Bored.
Yeah.
The problem I have with that is that you're basically sitting there and sautéing in your own filth.
But it's so hot. It's so hot that it's killing the germs.
It's not that hot.
Oh, it's real hot. You couldn't get in it.
What is it? I got a hot tub. It's like 101 degrees. What do you get in?
This started really in the first home that I bought when I was a Seahawk. Had a hot tub, and I'm talking old school, like your era, dude. 70s hot tub, deep hot tub.
Was it round?
Also, it was funky shaped, and it was built into the deck, and it also had a broken heating element, so it would heat to 120. And I didn't get it fixed. I don't want to get that thing fixed. So I'd heat it up, and then I'd pull out my Puyallup hose, and I put the cold hose water in, and I would get it to about 108.
So, 108?
Oh, yeah.
That's not good for you.
108. People said you won't have kids one day. Are you killing it all off? I said, I will have no problem.
Well, you won't have kids for like the next 3 or 4 days anyway.
No problem, no issue. So that's probably the weirdest, quirkiest thing is on the Hot and Hotter show, I like to take a real hot bath.
And
that's
Brock
pretty
is hotter. Yeah. That's creepy.
Is that creepy or something?
I do like the idea that he's got candles and Kenny G music playing.
We didn't even get to the other
awesome.
That's
we're just going to call for the close sounder.
Thanks.
Those are Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day on 97.3 Cairo FM.
All right, you want me to set this up?
Yeah,
Brock's,
please.
Brock's an NBA fan. I have no idea why, because I love college basketball. But Brock is really into it, and we're going to figure that out. Why? Why is Brock into the NBA? That's next on the Dory Monson Show. Monson Show, Brock Huer and Dave Wyman filling in. And Brock, I have to admit, I really need to change my ways. The NBA, I started really disliking the NBA. I think there hasn't been a good reason for me to be an NBA fan here in Seattle since the Sonics left back in, what was that, 08? And I am the hugest college basketball fan. For me, it goes as far as sports. The NFL is number one. Yep. NCAA basketball is number two. I love college basketball. I can't stand the NBA. I don't.
Has it always been this way?
Not always.
Did you enjoy Bird and
yes,
and Magic?
When
and
I was
Jordan?
Growing up, Dr. J was my hero.
Okay.
Yeah, but it just.
Is it
know.
Because it's not been here? And by the way, we celebrated a 10 year anniversary last week of the NBA being gone. Is it because it's distant here?
I think I would like it if it was here. I would like it more anyway, but I just can't stand watching it because here's a perfect quote from Jim has twin boys, Mikey and Stevie. And he said one time, Stevie goes, Dad, they don't even try. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, they don't try. They don't try to play defense. You see all the time where some of these big, you know, tough, like Blake Griffin one time, he just opens the door and lets a guy go and slam
a
basketball.
I'll tell you what, they may not try for 82 games as they jostle for position. They try in the playoffs. And the numbers are showing that. The fastest growing sport ratings-wise, revenue-wise, right now is not the NFL. It has been king and gorilla, and it is still from a market share by far and away exceeding the NBA. But as far as ratings growth, in a climate where we're seeing ratings decline, which is about everything, you're not seeing it in the NBA. It's actually got ratings growth. It actually is going the right direction. It has revenue growth. And in the playoffs, they've had some of their playoff high ratings right now as those series have gone underway. And I do think, I've got four reasons for you, Dave, as to why I don't think you're as into it or why it is taking off. Number one is that it's distant. We're not around it. You're not hearing Kevin Calabro on the air making calls like these.
Shoots it across the baseline. Kemp is there again for a raging two-hand thrust to the cup. Yes!
Yes! I mean, one of the best
KC,
at it. You just
best.
Right? I mean, you just don't have that in our market. I think number two, and this is why it's attractive on the outside, but maybe not to you, is they love their stars. They love to promote their stars. Here is LeBron, and here's all the star power. And you know, the reason you don't like quarterbacks, because you don't like stars. And they love to do that. The other thing that I think we've all learned about Dave Wyman in 2 hours and 49 minutes together, I don't think you're big on drama.
Yeah.
I don't know. Were you a soap opera guy back in the day?
You know what? The house I lived in, we would sometimes watch All My Children.
All My Children.
Kind of got into that a little bit.
As the world turns.
I don't like it. No, just one. Just All My Children.
Sorry.
I don't like it when these big athletes that are making that much money.
Yep.
I don't know. When the things that come out of their mouth, like, again, it goes back to the money thing. Like, just because you make that much money doesn't mean you're a genius and an authority on all things.
And the money is absurd. The money is absolutely absurd. $250 million contract. It's absurd. But there is a lot of drama attached to it. But what surprises me that you don't watch more of it is the level of athleticism right now is unparalleled.
Are they playing defense, Brock? It's the playoffs. Are they playing defense?
In the playoffs, yes.
Okay.
Yes. For 82 games, think about the 82 that preceded it is the exhibition. And now it is for real.
Isn't there too many games?
Yes.
82 games, that's a long, and you can understand those guys are going, they're flying all over the place and everything. But when I see a guy like James Harden just blatantly turn down an opportunity to either take a charge or, you know, slap the ball out of the guy's hand or something like that. Also, Brock, they're bad fighters. They're not good fighters. Have you ever seen it? It looks like a windmill competition out there when those guys get in fights.
Also, they travel with emotional support dogs.
They do not.
And parrots and snakes and cats and everything else.
No, those guys have booze.
How do you, by the way, how do you feel this thing went here for the last 2 hours and 52 minutes?
I thought it was.
Scale of 1 to 10 of your enjoyment level.
Are we talking about professionalism?
Sure.
Whatever. Okay, that would be a 2.
Whatever way you want to gauge it and judge it. A 2?
Yeah, professionalism, but entertainment, I don't know. I guess I liked hearing you giggle when we talked about poop.
You like that?
Yeah, that was pretty
good.
It
was very entertaining. I thought it was fairly professional.
Okay.
Think so?
At least 50%.
Well, whatever it is, it's 10 times more professional than what I'm getting ready to go do.
You got a little Danny Misfit Radio.
Moore show.
Can you do me a favor tonight? Can you try to do this for the show tomorrow? Like, I'll reciprocate whatever you want me to do. If you want me to send you a picture of my feet in the bathtub.
No, I will not take a bath.
Or the tub. No, I'm not going to ask you to take a bath. I know you're not going to do that. Will you watch a little NBA? Will you find a way, because the NBA is going right now, will you find a way, just, you know, have whatever drink of choice you like and put your feet up, sit on the couch, and just maybe even 15 minutes.
Is it going to interfere with my Jeopardy schedule? Jeopardy comes on at 7:30.
What time does Jeopardy come?
7:30, right after Wheel of Fortune. I don't watch Wheel of Fortune.
Please tell me you don't do that.
No, I don't do that.
And does Shannon play Jeopardy with you?
No, she's good at it, though. But a few times she has come in. And
I think it would be, and I know you have an event tonight, too, which will be awesome.
Yeah.
You guys are going to be over there supporting John Schneider and Ben's Fun. I think John Schneider was on the air with you guys a couple weeks ago as well. He comes in studio. That function is tonight, so you get to see a bunch of Seahawks and personnel. When you get back from that, just 15 minutes. I'm not asking for it. Maybe 5 minutes.
Okay, I will. I will do. I'll
because
see
I think
if they
you
try.
Will see a different level of intensity.
Always the voice in my head is always Stevie Moore, or maybe it was Mikey that said, "Dad, they don't even try to play defense.
Yeah,
they don't even try." So I'll see if they try. And by the way, yeah, Ben's Fun, great thing. John and Tracy Schneider do such a good job with that. So really happy to go over there and support them. We're going to be doing our show over on the AM side from, I guess we're at El Gaucho.
Yeah. There.
Yeah.
You guys have any music that you guys play out on the way out of the Dory Monson show?
Yeah, just a little early. Huh?
Well, we've got like 30 seconds. No, we got a hard out. Okay? You don't screw around with these things. I know that in radio. You learn
the
that?
Hard out's terrible.
Huh?
You know, because there's so much pressure. One time at the end of a hard out, I said, "Welcome." I was like, "It's Dave Wyman and welcome." And then they cut me off and I was like, "No!" I choked, man. I was up against it and I choked, bro. What's the number? It's ticking down right now. 16.
It's Dory, welcome.
Bye.
Dory, Dave, I really did enjoy that.
I did too.
We are going to be back tomorrow.
If
you enjoyed it, please tune in. We will be back filling in, and Dory will be back next week at some point. I can promise you that. And we're out. Welcome. Bye. Dory Monson Show's here.
Dorn, that's the end.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.